This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
You know who we should have at a Fish Fry Friday, Sue Thomas?
Do tell.
Scott Jennings. Shouldn't we fly him in for one of these things?
That would be awesome.
I'm pretty sure Odyssey's got the budget for that. I will talk to Steve Moore, but it would be fun to have him here. Maybe we can... Easter's late, isn't it? Like in June this year or something like that?
Oh, I don't think it's that late.
God, like Mardi Gras not till March 1st. I think it's late. I'm just basing it, you know. I'm a non-practicing Lutheran. I'm really not sure. My mom and dad probably are ashamed of me. We're giving away Brian Kilmeade tickets. He's coming back to St. Louis at the Factory, which is an amazing venue out in Chesterfield. First of all, if you've never been there, you're going to love it. Brian is playing that venue on the 22nd of March. It's more of a variety show, a little different than what we've done the last couple of years when he's coming to St. Louis. Tickets to give away right now. They are on sale for those of you who don't win tickets, but if you'd like a pair right now, I have them available. If you're calling, we're just gonna make it easy. Call number three. Boom. Call number three is a winner. 314-241-9797. All right, we'll get a winner. Let's kind of welcome Mr. Jennings into the fold here with some music, Sue. Scott Jennings, which side are you on? Which side are you on? Let's all sing together, right? How are you this evening?
I'm great. And every day that I see these Democrats at these protests, I feel better and better about the future.
You know, I got to tell you, and we've been communicating a little bit, they really are a little bit more broken and lost than I expected. Even the claims against Elon, like he's doing this for his personal gain. Have they looked at his net worth lately? What is that claim even about?
Yeah, the richest man in the world needs to break into the Social Security database and steal your... $600 a month check. That's what's going to fortify and solidify his own personal financial future. I mean, it is, first of all, a lot of people go on TV and say crazy things, and I think it slips into the realm of defamatory. I mean, you hear some of the things they say about Elon, and they don't know. They don't know what his motivations are. I mean, my belief is that his motivations are he loves this country because this country's given him a huge opportunity to build several successful companies. And I'll just remind everyone of one more thing. Maybe we could stop slandering this man long enough for him to rescue our astronauts from outer space, which we have asked him to do this spring. We apparently can't bring them back. Only Elon can. So maybe we can lay off for a minute or two.
You know, I've said this, and I just want your reaction to this. I never want you to, you know, dump on one of your employers. But I've been listening and paying more attention to CNN been doing that for a long time when you're on late at night on the panels, but I've been listening more during the day and like when I leave work here. And it's kind of stunning to me that all of the focus, and maybe you can make some criticism of Fox in the other direction, but all of the focus that I've heard from Aaron Burnett and others on CNN and Dan Abash has not been on the actual waste that has been exposed, any of the spending, the particulars of that. It's all been on the guy that's been, you know, exposing the waste. Why can't you maybe do a little bit of a balance there?
Yeah, look, I won't comment on the editorial decisions of media outlets. I'll just say that I think the American people and the media at large are currently in two different places. The American people are very much focused on the waste, fraud, and abuse. It's one of the reasons they elected Donald Trump. And the media is focused on Elon. I mean, we've moved on from Trump derangement to Elon derangement syndrome. And, you know, look, I think trust in the media is a longstanding ongoing issue. But when you're totally mismatched in your priorities, this is the wages of that. So I'm with you. I think we ought to have some more focus on what he's uncovering. I mean, you've got fraud in virtually every agency. And by the way, nobody disputes there's fraud in the government. And so the fact that someone's actually doing something about it should be generating positive attention, in my opinion, not negative attention. But, you know, we live in a shirts and skins world, I guess. And so because there's a Republican president, they got to take the other side of it.
Well, but wait a second. I thought, because I've been told this, I thought we were in a constitutional crisis.
I know. We're only 3 weeks in and we're already in a crisis. I mean, These judicial rulings, by the way, against Trump, which, you know, he's mad about, I would be too. How can it possibly be that someone would believe that a single federal district court judge in one jurisdiction anywhere in the country could commandeer the entire executive branch of the United States? I mean, that's lunacy, but that's what happens. You have these Democrat attorneys general. They band together. They file lawsuits in friendly venues with lunatic district court judges like the guy in Rhode Island who gave $700,000 to Sheldon Whitehouse. And that guy then tries to stop the executive branch from operating. If you want to have a national policy or a national decision set, let's go to the Supreme Court and let's not assume these district court judges should have more power than a duly elected president.
So one of the things that I think a lot of people would agree on right now outside of the policy is what's happening with this White House is dizzying. I mean, the pace at which they're working right now, I've heard the folks on CNN, they can't keep up with it, right? So this is good news if you want some of this stuff to actually be achieved because there's no time to waste, and they're certainly acting that way, Jennings.
There is no time to waste. And, I mean, years of inaction. Years of looking the other way, years of politicians saying, well, we're going to shrink the government. We're going to make it more efficient. We're going to save money. We're going to cut the fat. We're going to trim the waste. Whoever does it, the government only ever gets bigger, never smaller. And so these guys don't have any time to waste, and they have momentum. One of the most important things in politics is momentum. Trump wins a popular vote victory. He gets momentum. He runs a great transition, more momentum. And they come into office, and he creates all this positive momentum. And so when you have momentum and you have the ball, it's like in sports, man, you got to keep driving. And that's what they're doing. And by the way, he's never had a higher approval rating than he does right now because he is moving down the field. He has momentum and they're taking advantage of it and the people like it.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that's another thing I think a lot of the legacy media is a little confused by. Wait a second. It's popular that we're deporting people who climbed, you know, over fences and you know, through rivers to get here illegally. Of course, that's something that the American people would have trouble with. So I'm encouraged by a lot of this. And look, you had Tulsi confirmed today, RFK Jr. So the cabinet picks, I don't know that you can say they sailed through, but they went through very quickly, didn't they?
They did. And much like Trump was able to muscle through Speaker Mike Johnson on the first ballot when he was up for Speaker in early January, Trump and his team were able to get all their cabinet picks over the line. Yeah, they lost a couple of votes here and there, but not many. And so it's happening. They're getting a chance. If the Democrats and their lawfare core will allow it, they're going to get a chance to govern. The Republicans will. That's what the American people asked for. They elected a Republican president and a Republican Congress because they're going to give this party a chance to govern. So Trump's getting his administration in place. He's doing what he can do immediately from an executive perspective. And now the ball's going to be in the court of the Republicans in Congress to get the reconciliation bill together and cut taxes, fix energy, and work on immigration. That's the next big thing to drop here. Can the Republicans in Congress keep up with the pace that's being set by Donald Trump?
Scott Jennings is here, 97.1 FM Talk Political Insider. You see him on CNN. And I don't know how I missed this because I love the Wall Street Journal. I paid dearly $38 a month for it, but I look at the content all the time. And they did a great feature on you. Fred just brought this to my attention earlier this month on February 2nd. It was like a Scott Jennings profile, wasn't it?
Yeah, last week they did a piece about how CNN had tapped me to sort of translate for their audience, what's going on in red America or over half the country, I guess. And The profile culminated in them sending a photographer to my house to photograph me with my chickens.
I know.
And
I
so
see
it,
that.
Was, some of the greatest photos ever taken of me, showing off what the caption said was my favorite chicken.
Is this the only way that you're able to survive right now because of the price of eggs, that you have your own chickens?
Yeah, I mean, I've done is I've pretty much quit all my other jobs, and I just sell eggs on the side of the road at this point. I do CNN for free. I sit out the highway here in Louisville, and I pretty much charge like $100 a dozen.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's been the most lucrative thing I ever did.
You could probably do that right now. And have you started, one of the things that we covered late in the year and maybe even a few weeks ago, is that you've been appointed to the LA Times editorial board. Has any of that sort of begun at this point?
No, I'm in regular contact with the paper's owners, Dr. Patrick Soon-Shiong. And I think in the next few weeks, he's making some changes to the way he runs the paper and runs his media empire out there. And so I expect to hear from him in the next couple of weeks about how he's going to have people like me interact with the new setup of the editorial board. So nothing really to report on that yet, other than I'm looking forward to it because I think he's got a pretty cool vision on it.
Yeah, keep me posted, because I actually invoked your name yesterday when I was having a conversation. I think I told you about this a couple of months ago, but I went up to visit with the dean of the University of Missouri Journalism School, my alma mater. There was a little bit of a media bias issue that came up, and he invited me to a basketball game. And, you know, we talked about diversity, idea diversity in newsrooms. And, Scott, I think you'd agree, does not exist very much. And that's problematic, which is one of the reasons Patrick is doing what he's doing with you. And maybe we're going to see some move in that other direction. But look, some of these kids and these professors in particular are in such a bubble, I don't know if they can ever dig out. I'm really concerned, because all these young people are so indoctrinated into some of this stuff, whether it's the gender nonsense or things related to race. I don't know how you get out of it. I just don't see a path.
I agree with you. But at the same time, I am encouraged by some of the polling I've seen. The most recent CBS News poll, people under 30 gave Donald Trump an approval rating at a plus 10. I mean, it was one of his best groups. These young people, I think, have had it with this sort of woke indoctrination they've had to go through in their college career and in their lives, and they're rebelling against it, and they like what Trump is doing, and they're looking at the Republican Party right now and saying, these guys are the common sense party. And so I think we may be seeing a movement in the pendulum here. Now, we'll see if the institutions themselves respond to what they're, we're seeing in the polling from the kids. But I think there's a sense among some kids that, hey, what we're being told and taught here is not right, and it's not good for our country, and it's not good for us personally. I think you're seeing a little bit of rebellion right now. I'm anxious to see how this plays out.
I hope you're right about that. We often, Scott Jennings, close with baseball. Bregman to Boston. Boy, they're making some moves, aren't they?
Yeah, I think $40 million for Bregman. I mean, his stat line wasn't all that different than Nolan's. And I know he's 3 years younger, but I don't know if they're going to – I mean, it's fine, but I guess Nolan's going to be our third baseman, and I hope he has a great year.
He's still talking about trade possibilities, but, boy, that is becoming less likely. Are you and Mr. Joe Arnold going to spring training this year, or are you too busy with all the CNN stuff?
There is a chance I may catch, like, 2 days in Florida because of a speaking engagement I may have down there during the spring training period. So if I pull it off – it'll be somewhat of a miracle, but I go every year, and I'd hate to miss it this year. So I'm gonna try to pull it off.
Hey, they need eggs in Jupiter, Florida. Just keep that in mind. Bring the chickens down there.
By the way, I'll give you a quick story. I flew to Washington last week, and I took like 100 eggs with me in a bag to the airport. I was unsure whether you could fly with eggs.
Yeah,
but you can. The TSA let me on the plane with eggs, and I handed them out to all my friends at CNN last weekend, including Dana Bash, who took them home and made omelets for her kids. And it was really an enjoyable thing to do. But if you've ever wondered, can you take raw eggs on an airplane? Answer, yes.
How did you keep 100 eggs? Like, did any of them crack at all?
No, I have cartons. I mean, okay. I treat these things like the precious items they are. And I kept them with me at my seat. Took him right into the office and handed him out. I was the most popular guy at CNN that day. One day I was the most popular guy.
Oh, I think you got more than that going. All right, Jennings, thank you so much. Have a great week, and we will talk soon.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, take care. I have to kind of parlay this and segue into some audio from the University of Chicago, because – This is relatively funny. Now, I debated, there was a Sue Thomas factor here on this piece of audio. I just have to tell you, because sometimes I have to have these inner debates with myself, and language is involved, because I know that sometimes the language that I use, and I'm fond of profanity, it's frowned upon by some of my friends, including Sue. So there's a word in here that we, I think, didn't use, but we'll find out. But this is Clay Travis. Clay Travis is on Fox quite a bit. He hosts a show with Buck Sexton as well, a radio show. But he's outspoken and very opinionated on a lot of this stuff related to sports and gender in particular. Outkick, his outlet, has been very, very successful. Anyway, he's on this panel at the University of Chicago. And let me see if I can tell you who else was on the panel, because they're having this discussion about, you know, what's going on with the Democrat Party, how it's related to the election, all these other things. And there's a panel that gets into the issue of men who are Democrats, and how men in particular, maybe young men, you know, Jennings was offering this example of young men, how they reacted to this election, et cetera. And then Clay Travis, there was some audible gasps when he said this.
What I would start with is men aspire to be bigger, stronger, and faster than we are, almost universally. That's why superheroes are popular. That's why pro athletes are popular. Who is the most masculine Democrat right now in America?
And there's
Mayor Pete.
Is that a gay joke?
No. Mayor Pete, no. Well, no, it's just that he's not particularly masculine. Nobody's like, oh, Mayor Pete, he's a badass. Chuck Schumer? Is anybody like, hey, you know, Chuck Schumer holding up an avocado and a beer to talk about the Super Bowl? Is anybody like that trying to grill? Is anybody like, hey, that's a dude I want to hang out with?
No, but did you see how, you know, immediately the woman that was on the panel, is that a gay joke? We're going to, you know, look down on that. I did, you know, he didn't mention this name. There's more to this audio. But John Fetterman maybe comes to mind as the guy, the only guy out there. Like, think about J.B. Pritzker. But then he continues.
Trump's like a grandpa.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
Trump took a bullet in his ear and immediately stood up and said, fight, fight, fight. Every man in America and most of the women out here were impressed by that, even if the women won't admit it. She's shaking her head strong. And second part of this, basically summing it up, Democrats for men are p***s and Republicans
Democrats
aren't.
Democrats for men
are p***s. There are no masculine men in the Democrat Party right now.
He was using a word that rhymes with wussies.
Oh, we got it.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Yes.
Sometimes the audience is unclear, and I don't want to leave mystery in their mind. I thought that was very funny, even though some people will disapprove. Hey, Trump's taking questions right now. Let's see if we can dip into this. He's with the Indian Prime Minister, and they just came out of an event. This is live at the White House.
Gross incompetence. We're going to have a fantastic relationship, and it has been. Look, the whole world's been set back over the last 4 years by the weakness of the United States, the weak leadership of the United States. But I think we've taken care of it in just 3 weeks. It seems to me that even some of the media that we wouldn't prefer has been writing that this is a much different country right now, that the world has a light over it, not only our country, but the whole world. The Prime Minister told me that before, too, even over India. The world has a light. They need the United States to be strong and powerful, but good. And I think that's happened, and I think it's happened in a very short period of time. But I will tell you, we're going to have a fantastic relationship, and it'll make both countries much stronger.
Yeah, he's with the Indian Prime Minister Modi right now, taking questions. I just want to, sometimes the questions get pretty interesting. Oh, somebody was supposed to ask something.
Okay, Geeta Mohan from India Today, sir. I'll just take my colleague Lalit Jha's question forward because you couldn't understand.
Okay, fine.
The question is about the fact that you've decided to extradite Tahawar Rana. Thank you so much. India has been waiting to have him back in India to bring him to justice.
Okay, I think this is going to get a little into the Indian weeds here, if you will, and I'm coming up on a break. But I always like to sample that because if he's getting into it with, you know, the media there about some other issues, but I think they're going to focus on the issue at hand, which is Prime Minister Modi in the room after their meeting.
I'm starting to get used to actually hearing from the president, and he talks to us all the time.
It's
shocking.
It is shocking because you talk about Biden, but even Harris, like how many times did she even do anything in 4 months where there was anything even remotely similar to what he's done in just one day in the last 3 weeks?
Never.
So, you know, did you hear this whole dust up about the Associated Press?
Uh-uh.
All right, so I might be able to get to this right now before the break. So the AP was kept out of a, it wasn't the briefing room, but there was something because the AP refused to acknowledge in their style book that it's the Gulf of America, right?
Oh,
it's not the Gulf
funny.
Of the Gulf of Mexico. So here, I think this is it with Caitlin Collins and Carolyn Levin.
Which White House official made the decision to bar the AP reporter from the Oval Office and the diplomatic reception room last night?
Well, first of all, let me just set the record straight. It is a privilege to cover this White House. It's a privilege to be the White House press secretary. And nobody has the right to go into the Oval Office and ask the President of the United States questions. That's an invitation that is given. And there are hundreds of outlets on this campus, many of you in this room who don't have the privilege of being part of that pool every single day and getting to ask the President questions. We reserve the right to decide who gets to go into the Oval Office, and you all have credentials to be here, including the Associated Press, who is in this briefing room today.
So they want to make a big deal, and this was something that happened on the X formerly Twitter, that the esteemed Associated Press, and just so people who are listening know, if you don't know much about the Associated Press, they're the worst. And they're even worse than you think, because they distribute content to
everybody.
every outlet, yes. Whether it's KSDK or KMOX or the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. They run stories that these outlets pay for content,
yes.
And they pick up. It's also a co-op because people, you know, across the country contribute.
Any small radio station or TV station all across the country.
And they are the worst when it comes to bias. I'm just telling you. I've seen some of their nonsense over the last 10 years in particular. So this went a little longer here.
Isn't it retaliatory in nature is the argument, because the reason that the AP was barred, which they said was because they're not using the phrase Gulf of America, they're using Gulf of Mexico in line with their standards. And so the question here is this setting a precedent that this White House will retaliate against reporters who don't use the language that you guys believe reporters should use? And how does that align with the First Amendment commitment that you were just talking about?
All right, so before Carolyn answers, and she does give an answer, let's just think about the questions here from Caitlin Collins. Because she's not asking anything about DOJ. She's not asking anything about the border. She's asking about the snowflake media that got kicked out of a room last night because they're so biased. And that's what they care about. That's the only thing that they care about.
It was an executive order.
Well, listen, Carolyn puts the hammer down.
It's very upfront in my briefing on day one that if we feel that there are lies being pushed by outlets in this room, we are going to hold those lies accountable. And it is a fact that the body of water off the coast of Louisiana is called the Gulf of America. And I'm not sure why news outlets don't want to call it that, but that is what it is. The Secretary of Interior has made that the official designation in the geographical identification name server. And Apple has recognized that. Google has recognized that. Pretty much every other outlet in this room has recognized that body of water as the Gulf of America. And it's very important to this administration that we get that right, not just for people here at home, but also for the rest of the world.
Isn't it just, in and of itself, the fact that they have problems with using the term Gulf of America? Are you kidding me? Why fight that? What is so offensive about that? That is interesting. But Carolyn Levin, holding her own with these legacy media members. We're going to talk real estate in St. Louis with Neil Gelman of the Gelman Team, plus an audio cut of the day still to come.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to 4 different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's almost the weekend, believe it or not. This has gone fast for me because I was off yesterday on assignment, if you will. We got a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Jane will be here, Mayor Sean Flower of Eureka, State Rep Steve Butts, who was nice enough to tour me around the Capitol yesterday, including the bathroom that has no door on the stall. That was one of the highlights, and I did post a picture of that. I can't even believe I'm saying that.
That's so weird.
They have a men's room on the Capitol that doesn't have a door on it, and somebody put up a shower curtain.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a good plan.
It's kind of symbolic of what happens in politics, though, yes. Isn't it? So we'll get to all the regular stuff on a Friday, also with Paul Hall on entertainment. We got some movies opening up this weekend for Valentine's Day. Also, Frank Cusimano with some sports. As we always talk basketball, you know, that Mizzou game last night, it was kind of a blowout, but it was a sloppy game. They didn't look very good overall, but Oklahoma's terrible, so they took care of that. Mizzou goes on the road to Georgia. And then, I didn't talk about this yesterday, but a heartbreaking loss for SLU the other night. Fred was at that game.
Oh, was he?
It was an overtime game, and they kind of SLU hit a three-pointer to tie it up with, like, nothing left on the clock, and then I think they ran out of gas in overtime. Anyway, all that tomorrow. The Hall of Fame nominations for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are out. Tim Summer will visit with us on that tomorrow. So we always kind of check in with our friends at the Gelman team, Mark and Neil Gelman, on the real estate situation. Great sponsors of not only 97.1 FM Talk, but this station. Neil Gelman is with us this afternoon. It's a great time to check up on the upcoming spring market. How are you, Mr. Gelman?
How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm getting through the winter. I'm hoping for warmer weather. We don't seem to be getting that right now.
I know. We look forward to getting on the course with you soon.
I do, too. So what is going on right now with the market? A lot of people kind of hang on, and they wait until the spring to put homes on the market. You guys say, don't do that. Put it on whenever you want to sell it. But what are we looking at with inventory and availability, et cetera, right now?
So right now, Mark, we're still dealing with significantly low inventory of good homes. And when I say of good homes, inventory is beginning to build. It's building, whether it's St. Louis County, St. Charles County, the city, and Jefferson County. All 4 counties are building, but the turnover of new properties is not what it was, meaning that we're seeing that months of inventory is building. If you don't have a home that's prepared properly, priced right, and is, for the most part, move-in ready. So what we're seeing is if you have a home that you want to put on the market, do it now. Right now, you have very, very little competition, and the buyers are out in full force. We're seeing multiple offers on a good majority of homes in all different areas throughout the county.
Okay, but let's talk about what distinguishes move-in ready versus non-move-in ready, because that's an important point. And, you know, we sat down, we had breakfast. I can't believe it was probably like 2.5 months ago at this point. But you guys recommend a lot of times, and I think that some clients may not want to hear this, but you sometimes want to stage homes, right?
We do. We are 100% for staging, especially vacant homes. What if you don't stage a vacant home, what are you looking at? You see all the flaws, everything stands out. Where the other thing is that if you have a home, a lot of people have kind of maybe eclectic taste where each room looks a little bit different. Some things are updated, some things aren't. Staging gives you consistency throughout the house, draws your attention to the furnishings versus the flaws of the house.
And
whether
this is,
it's older,
yeah,
older paint, older wall, you know, wallpaper, flooring, etc.
And that makes sense. And what I hear, and this isn't too, you know, it's not like rocket scientists, but essentially there might be an assumption for people, oh, hot market, not very much inventory, going to put the house on the market, doesn't matter what it looks like, we'll get multiple offers. Maybe that was true a couple of years ago, but the buyers are being a little bit more careful these days and picky.
Yeah, 100%. You're right, spot on. And a lot of that has to do with interest rates. Interest rates, if you go back to, you know, like 2 years ago and you were sitting maybe around 3%, now you're, you know, hovering around 7%, give or take. If I took you out, Mark, showed you four homes, you wrote four offers, mm-hmm, and you got beat out. The fifth home, you're like, you're buyer fatigue, and you're like, you know what, this isn't exactly what we want, but I'm willing to settle. Interest rates did not affect back then. Now, with interest rates hovering close to 7, buyers are holding off if it's not exactly what they want. The other thing is that most people have strong incomes that are looking to buy, but they don't have a strong savings account to go in and do all the repairs. So what you're seeing is people can fund the additional monthly payment, but they don't have the funds to do the updating that they would like to do, which,
yeah,
is why move-in ready gets,
yes,
a premium.
And that completely makes sense. I mean, look, even when I was looking at a house, I'm not real crazy about doing a bunch of work because I have no skills along that area. So you want it to be move-in ready as possible. You can check out the Gelman team at thegelmanteam.com. Always great to have you on for an update. It'll be interesting to see how this year kind of moves along, won't it?
We're super excited, Mark. We know that inventory will build. We know that good homes are still selling. They're still getting a premium. So anybody that's sitting on the sidelines thinking about putting their house on the market, there is a huge opportunity right now.
You know, and this is just telling the truth. I think that you guys helped me find this house like 8 years ago. It might even be close to 9. There's not a week, I could say a day, but there's really not a week that goes by that I don't sit there and look at my house and shake my head and say, thank God we got into this house when we did. And you know, a lot of people, we got lucky with low interest rates, but a little bit more challenging right now.
Absolutely. You know, and for those buyers that are sitting on the sidelines waiting for interest rates to drop, as soon as they potentially drop, if they even do, all that does is create more competition, which drives prices up.
Absolutely.
So now's the opportunity for buyers as much as sellers.
Neil, always great to have you on. Say hello to Mark. I haven't talked to him in a while. We'll see you soon.
We'll do all that, right, Mark. Take care. Thank you for the time.
TheGelmanTeam.com if you'd like to find out more. We got audio cut of the day coming up. Another reminder, we have a Reardon roundtable tomorrow. Jane will be on the panel. State Rep Steve Butts, the mayor of Eureka. That will be Sean Flower. During Sue's News earlier, you unveiled some of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees. We always chat music. We love to chat music with Tim Summer, our music expert, writes for the Rock and Roll Globe, was there at the infancy of MTV. You know, he discovered Hootie and the Blowfish. He's got lots of street cred with music, and he's got some thoughts. And we always talk about the bands that didn't get in and the bands that get in. And who do we have that was weird this year?
Well, Mariah Carey.
Yeah, Mariah Carey. Like, is that a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member? Apparently it will be, right?
Yeah, and he's good at explaining why.
Yeah. He said something. Let me look at this because he was texting me today. I know Iron Maiden did not get in. There was another band that I think people have kind of been rooting for a long time. No, Devo didn't get in either. So It was Mariah Carey, Chubby Checker, Joe Cocker, Billy Idol. Tim's got really good connections with Billy Idol. He's very close with him. Joy Division and New Order, Cyndi Lauper, Mana. I don't know Mana.
I don't either.
I don't know what that is. Oasis, Outkast, and Phish in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. All right, this is a lengthy cut of the day.
Stand by. Playback ready. ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, kind of bear with me here, because this is Matt Taibbi, and, you know, I started the show by talking about my trip to Columbia yesterday, and Jeff said he went to the Capitol, but I had a little bit of a sit-down and went to the game last night with David Kerpius, who's the dean of the journalism school at Mizzou. And we had a discussion about the state of modern journalism, which I feel is in disrepair, and David has a few different opinions of it, but we had a great, you know, time, and we talked. But when it comes to media bias, you know, some people don't understand the lengths at which some of these organizations go to keep information from you. Sometimes it's the way they do stories. Sometimes it's omission and not telling you about the full context. So this is Matt Taibbi, and Matt's been the guy who uncovered the Twitter files, and he was a guy, as I've described him, wrote for Rolling Stone magazine for many years, decades, about climate change and blah, blah, all these left-wing issues. And then all of a sudden, as a reformed liberal, as you know, some other folks out there have become, I mentioned Sasha Stone and others, he really saw a situation that was developing between free speech and the government that he was very disturbed about. And that's why Mike Schellenberger and Matt and others went out there. They did the Twitter files and they exposed all this. But he's testifying here about some of the Doge stuff and USAID. And he takes issue. You're going to hear him talk about John Kerry here.
2 years ago, when Michael and I first testified before your weaponization of government subcommittee, Democratic members called us so-called journalists, suggested we were bought off scribes, and questioned our ethics and our loyalties. When we tried to answer, we were told to shut up, take off our tinfoil hats, and remember two things. One, there is no digital censorship, and two, if there is digital censorship, it's for our own good. I was shocked. I thought the whole thing had to be a mistake. There was no way the party that I gave votes to my whole life was now pro-censorship. Then last year, I listened to John Kerry, whom I voted for, talk to the World Economic Forum. Speaking about disinformation, he said, quote, our First Amendment stands as a major block to our ability to, quote, hammer it out of existence. He complained that it's really hard to govern because people self-select where they go for their news, which makes it, quote, much harder to build consensus.
Yeah. How about that?
Wow.
That is stunning, especially when you hear it put that way.
I defended John Kerry when people said he looks French, but Marie Antoinette would have been embarrassed by this speech. He was essentially complaining that the peasants are self-selecting their own sources of media. What's next, letting them make up their own minds? Lastly, building consensus may be a politician's job, but it's not mine as a citizen or as a journalist. In fact, making it hard to govern is exactly the media's job.
Yeah.
The failure to understand this is why we have a censorship problem. This is an Alamo moment for the First Amendment. Most of America's closest allies, as both Rupa and Michael have pointed out, have already adopted draconian speech laws. We are surrounded. The EU's new Digital Services Act is the most comprehensive censorship law ever instituted in a Western democratic society.
Okay, so that kind of brings us, and we're going to talk about USAID, and he's going to address that. But, Sue, think about that, because we talked with, was it Hank Lena last week, right? And Hank was the guy from New Zealand who became a naturalized citizen. But we were talking about some of the things that are happening in Australia and New Zealand, even Canada, that are shocking to people here. And we take our freedom of speech for granted, but they are locking people down for things that they say on social media, and it's outrageous. And then that brings us to USAID.
Ranking Member Raskin, you don't have to go as far as Russia or China to find people jailed for speech. Our allies in England now have an online safety act which empowers the government to jail people for nebulous offenses like false communication or causing psychological harm. Germany, France, Australia, Canada, and other nations have implemented similar ideas. These laws are totally incompatible with our system. Some of our own citizens have been harassed or even arrested in some of these countries, but our government has not stood up for them. Why? Because many of our bureaucrats believe in these laws. Take USAID. Many Americans are now in an uproar because they learned about over $400 million going to an organization called Internews, whose chief, Jeannie Bourgeau, boasted to Congress about training hundreds of thousands of people in journalism. But her views are almost identical to Kerry's. She gave a talk once about building trust and combating misinformation in India during the pandemic. She said that after months of a really beautifully unified COVID-19 message, vaccine enthusiasm rose to 87%. But when, quote, mixed information on vaccine efficacy got out, hesitancy ensued. We're paying this person to train journalists, and she doesn't know that the press does not exist to promote unity or political goals like enthusiasm. That's propaganda, not journalism.
I don't know why that's so hard to understand.
I know.
Because you're talking, you know, he brings up some points here, like healthy kids don't die from COVID. Lockdowns were a bad idea. Trump isn't a Russian agent. And Biden can't write his name in the ground with a stick. Some of the highest paid journalists in the country are still afraid to say those things out loud. And we know that that's true. Look, we offered an example. The flu is kicking people's ass across this country. There are more kids that have died this year from the flu than probably, I'm talking about young kids under the age of 10 years old and maybe even under the age of five. It's killed a fair amount of like 60 kids, 57 kids. Well, we were told that COVID was doing that, but it wasn't doing that. It was killing mainly people over 85 years old and people who weren't healthy. But he even says, you know, Matt Taibbi says in this, and you heard him refer to as Mike, that's Mike Schellenberger, who's also been a hero on this. He says, is there right-wing misinformation? Hell yes. It exists in every direction. But what Taibbi says is, I grew up in a Democrat household, and I don't remember being afraid of it. At the time, we didn't need censorship because we figured we had the better argument. Now, what I love is that Matt Taibbi is a reformed liberal, and he saw these freedom of speech issues as very problematic. He continues. This was testimony that took place yesterday. I think it was yesterday or Tuesday before this committee on, you know, some of these issues that are relatable right now when it comes to USAID. So I'm encouraged, because even though I had this discussion that was, you know, at times somewhat uncomfortable with the dean of the journalism school, I do think, and I think Scott Jennings addressed this earlier, that there are little things that are pushing us in a more positive direction. But man, I'll tell you what, the folks on CNN, MSNBC, CBS, NBC, ABC, they are lost right now. They really are. They're broken. And I'm sorry, I'm enjoying the hell out of it. We'll talk about it all during a Reardon Roundtable tomorrow at 3. Have a great night.
Get more at 971talk.com.